Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tainis Daf Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 21 lines from the top of the Omid, or roughly in the middle of the Omid. You'll notice a framed section. This is a quote from Daf Beis, Omid Beis. We are continuing with the topic of from what point in the year do we start mentioning Mashiv HaRuach U'Morid HaGeshem, otherwise known as Gevuros Geshomim. We've referred to the term Mazkirin Gevuros Geshomim. When does that take place? When do we start inserting that into the Shemona Esrei? So we continue in the middle of the page. Gimel Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Mishum Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yehuda quotes a Rabbi Yoshua that says, Ha'ofer lifnei hateva, the one who is going to serve as the Shliach Tzibor, the Chazan, the one who leads the prayers, he's known as Ofer lifnei hateva. Bayom tov ho'achron shel chag, on the last day of Sukkot. Chag is a term referring to the holiday of Sukkot. Ho'achroin mazkir, ho'rishon eino mazkir. The achron is the one who leads the Musaf Shmon Esrei. He mentions Mashiv HaRuach U'Morid HaGeshem. Again, the Yom Tov Achron Shel Chag is Shmini Atzeres, the last day of Sukkot. He mentions the Mashiv HaRuach U'Morid HaGeshem insert. Ho'rishon eino mazkir. The Rishon is the person leading the Shachris, the morning Shmon Esrei. He does not insert that. B'yom tov ho'rishon shel Pesach, when it comes to a half year later at the beginning of Pesach, so, and we're talking about the first day of Pesach, ho'rishon maskir, the one who leads the Shachris, will make reference to the Mashiv HaRuach U'Morid HaGeshem in the Shachris Shmon Esrei. Ho'achron eino maskir, of the Musaf of the first day of Pesach, no longer makes reference to Mashiv HaRuach U'Morid HaGeshem. The Gemara asks, Hey, Rabbi Yoshua, which Rabbi Yoshua is being quoted by Rabbi Yehuda? Before we continue, we have a structural note. As you can see, there's a house shape that appears, and on the side of the Gemara we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, the topic heading combined with a structural note. This represents Shlavim, stages, the Birur, Mihu Hashita, who is the opinion Shesoveres de Mazkir Gevuros Geshomim Mimusuf Shel Shmini Atzeres? Who is the one that says that you start Mashiv HaRuach U'Morid HaGeshem at that point, Musaf of Shmini Atzeres? So the Gemara asks, Hey, Rabbi Yoshua, which Rabbi Yoshua is this a reference to? Ilemo Rabbi Yoshua de Masnisin, if you're to think that it's Rabbi Yoshua of our Mishnah, the Mishnah on the Beis Amud Aleph, Ho Omar, there he says, Biyom Tov Ho Achron Shel Chag Hu Mazkir, that Mashiv HaRuach is mentioned on the last day of Sukkot, which implies during Shacharis as well. And here in this source, it says that Biyom, the Achron Mazkir, Rishon Eino Mazkir, Rishon is the Shacharis, does not say it. So it doesn't conform to the to the Rabbi Yeshua we see in our Mishnah, who implies, once again, that Shacharis would be a time for reciting Mashiv HaRuach U'Morid HaGeshem. Elo, Rabbi Yeshua de Braisa. Well, maybe it's Rabbi Yeshua of the Braisa. Now, we saw this back on Daf Beis Amud Beis. Well, but Ho'omar, but he said, Mishas Hanachoso, from the time that you put down the lulav. This we saw on Beis Amud Beis, the second triangled name. So it doesn't conform to him either, because here we're talking about Shmini Atzeres, where Rabbi Yeshua in the Braisa made reference to the seventh day of Sukkot. is when you would start the Mashiv HaRuach. And here, the Rabbi Yeshua, in this, that Rabbi Yehuda is quoting, is saying that you're not starting on the seventh day of Sukkot, but rather on Shmini Atzeres. Vesu, Ha Adesanu. We have another source. And again, we want to know who the author of this source is. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Ben Beseira. Interestingly, again, you have here Rabbi Yehuda quoting Ben Beseira, who says, Ha'oivu Lifnei HaTeva B'yom Tov Ha'acharon Shel Chag Ha'acharon Mazkir. Now this quote is the same in terms of halachic, practical halacha, as the source just before that Rabbi Yehuda was quoting. Rabbi Yehuda there quoted Rabbi Yeshua. Here you have Rabbi Yehuda quoting Ben Beseira, but the same halacha appears, that the Achron is Maskir, the one who says the Musaf. So, hey, Ben Beseira. Ben Beseira means the son of Beseira, but who is this? Which Ben Beseira? He lemo Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseira. If it's that individual, the Ben Beseira is really Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseira, but ha'amar b'sheni b'chag hu maskir. But we saw Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseira previously. We saw him back on Daf Beis as saying that on the second day of Sukkot, Mashiv Horuach Umorid HaGeshem is recited. And here it's saying on Shmini Atzeres of Musaf it said, Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. Rav Nachman answers, Tehei Travayu Rabbi Yeshua Ben Beseira. Both Rabbi Yehuda quotes that we had in these two sources are the same person. They're Rabbi Yeshua Ben Beseira. In the first source, and the Gemara goes on, Zimnin Dekori Le Bishmei, sometimes he is called by his own name, Rabbi Yeshua, and sometimes he is called Bishmei De Abba, namely, Ben Beseira. Veha Mekami Delis Mechuhu, one is prior to his receiving Smicha. Smicha in English sometimes is called ordination, but it has to do with a formal permission, a formal right to paskin, to rule on legal matters. So before he received that, he was called Ben Beseira. V'ha lebosar de lis mechuhu, and after he received the formal right to paskin shayis, because we call smicha, then he is called Rebbe Yehoshua. Now you can see a slash that indicates that there's a new trend of thought that appears here in the Gemara. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei and mivne, a topic heading with a structural note. A triangle is featured, and you'll also notice there's a numbering system, a Roman numerals 1 and 2. The second one appears on Omid Beis, where we've written the following: Lo chayvu chachomim lahaskir tal v'ruchos v'ovim. The Chazal did not require us to cite in our Shmona Esrei, in terms of the praise of Hashem, the one who brings the tal, that's dew, ruchos, winds, ovim, clouds, mishum she'enom netzom, because they are never withheld. It's just like we don't cite in the Shemona Esrei the Almighty as the one who provides sunlight. It's part of nature, and it's built into nature, that the nature that the God created. So too with regard to these phenomena, dew, winds, and clouds. The bow tie shape will be used to highlight the expressions tal and ruchos. And a double underline will be used to highlight the expression minolon delo me'atzer. From where do we know that those respective items are not withheld? Now the Gemara. Tana, betal uberuchos loy chayvu chachomim lahazkir. Regarding dew and winds, the chacham did not obligate us to mention them in the Shmona Esrei. If you come to mention them, maskir, you have a right to mention them. It's not considered an interruption. My taima. Why is this the case? Amar Rabbi Hanina lefi she'ein ne'etzoren. Tal and Ruchos are not withheld. V'tal minolon de lo me'atzer. From where do we know that tal is not withheld? So the Gemara answers, Dichtiv. First we cite a pasuk, and then the Gemara will go on to answer. We call this a long answer that will take us to the top of Omid Beis, where we will finally see the proof that it's not withheld. Dichtiv. The pasuk comes from the Book of Kings, Melachim Aleph, Perek Yedzayin, Pasuk Aleph. This is a time where Eliyahu HaNavi was functioning as the Navi in the kingdom of Ahav. Ahav was a problematic individual. He was heavily engaged in idolatry. And the Pasuk says, Vayomer Eliyahu HaTishbi mitoshavei Gilad el Ahav. Eliyahu addresses Ahav and says, Chai Hashem Elokei Yisrael, which is an expression of an oath, Asher amadati lefonov imya hashanim oela tal umotor kiim lefi devari. He swears that there will be no tal umotor, be no dew nor rain unless I say so. Uksiv, and then later it says, you can see this is Perek Yudches, lech hera el Achov. The Almighty communicates to Elio, go show Achov etno motor al pene o adama, and I will give rain on the land. The Elu tal loy ko omar le. In the pasuk where Hashem says, I will now give forth, after it was withheld, says he announces, I will now give forth, there's no reference to I will now give forth do. My time, why does that not appear in the pasuk where Hashem announces he is now going to restore do? Answer, mishum delo me'atzer. It's not something that was withheld in the first place. Even in the years that were drought-stricken years, dew was not withheld. So this is what we were looking for. That from where do we know that dew is not withheld? Now, so the Gemara goes on more with the storyline. If it's something that's not withheld, so what was behind the oath that Eliyahu had made to Ahav when he said, there will be, other than my word, there will be no rain nor dew? He did mention dew in his oath, but if it's something that's not withheld, so why did he mention that? The Gemara answers, Hochi ko omale, thusly Eliyahu was saying to Ahav, afilu tal de bracha, nami lo asi. You're not going to have rain, nor even dew that is bracha, that is beneficial. So, you see from this that there are actually two qualities of dew. There's a type of dew that's beneficial, and there's a type of dew that isn't what we call shel bracha, that doesn't cause growth. The Gemara asks, well, that having been said, that there's something called tal de bracha, v'lahadre l'tal de bracha, why doesn't he say that why doesn't the Kodesh Baruch Hu say, I am going to return, I'm going to restore the tal of bracha? The Gemara answers, mishum delo minkara milsa. It's not something that is recognizable. Rashi elaborates a little bit here. Four lines from the top, delo minkara milsa, to tal have meikara. There was tal all the time. Velo hoya achov harosha moide b'chaziro de tal shel bracha. Ahav wouldn't acknowledge that was restored. Di havi omer ve'etno tal umotar, had the Almighty said, I will give now the dew and rain, hoya Ahav mekatro, Ahav would have defamed him and challenged the omer loy and say back, shalom etzawa, the dew was never stopped. I saw dew all the time, so what are you telling me that you're bringing back the dew? So since it's not nikkur, you can't distinguish by looking at it the difference between tal debrocha and tal shena shebrocha, so no mention was made of I will now bring back the dew, even though the tal shebrocha was in fact withheld as Elio indicated in his original oath. Ruchos minolon dolo me'atzri. Here you can see the second bow tie, from where do we know that winds are not withheld? It should be pointed out that all of these phenomena, of course, rain, dew, winds, clouds, all of these are beneficial to mankind, to the growth, to agriculture. And we said some of these items are actually never withheld. How do we know that winds are not withheld? Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Yom Akro, the Pasuk says, Ki ka'arba ruchos ha-shamayim peirasti, feirasti eschem nu'um Hashem. My ko'omar luhu. If we read a pasuk, we didn't translate it. And here the Gemara asks, what is the prophet saying here in this pasuk? I lema hochi ko'omar luhu hakodesh baruch hu Yisrael. If you think it means the following, and this would be what you would say that is the superficial translation of the pasuk, that badrisinchu means scattered. In Aramaic, there are letters that interchange with Hebrew letters. So you have here the root of the word, the badrisinchu, beis dalid resh. The suffix sinchu means you, plural. But the root of the word beis dalid resh in Hebrew, beis would interchange with a pei, and the dalid interchanges with a zayin. So you get the word pozar. Pozar is to scatter, like we say mifuzar. It's items that are scattered. So if the pasuk means that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying to the Jews that I scattered you bi'arba ruchi d'alma, that the Jews are scattered in the four corners of the world, the four ruchi, literally the four directions, north, south, east, and west, ihachi, if that were the real reading, ke'arba bi'arba meboyale, the pasuk should have been read with a beis in front of the word arba. Whereas in the four ends of the world, why the chof? The chof is a letter indicating comparison. Elo hochi ko'omar, rather, this is the meaning of the pasuk. Keshem shi efshe le'olam b'loy ruchos, just like the world cannot continue existing without winds, the winds help dissipate heat, otherwise it would be great heat buildup. So just like the world cannot exist without winds, kach yefshe le'olam b'loy Yisrael. But now, for our purposes, we have to emphasize that the world cannot exist without winds. That's the main point. That's what that shows it, that that's not withheld. If it were withheld, the world wouldn't continue to exist. So the meaning of the pasuk is, just like the world cannot continue existing without winds, the world cannot continue existing without Jews. This parenthetically helps to explain how the efforts of history's numerous or innumerable Jew haters have never been successful. And in most recent times, even the likes of the great war machine and sophisticated extermination apparatus of Hitler, Yamach Shemo, was not successful. The world would simply cease to exist. And I understand that that might be a source of irritation for the numerous Jew haters that exist out there, but so be it. If you accept the Torah and the prophets, you'll have to accept this fact. Omar Rabbi Hanina. Before we continue, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading. Ma dino shelmi shaloi Omar. What is the din of someone who did not say ma shivoruach? And you'll have in the Yemos HaGeshem or Yemos HaChama Geshem as the rainy season, Yemos HaChama as the summer season. And what is the rule if someone didn't say Morid HaGeshem? So you have Ma Shiporuach is one phrase, Morid HaGeshem is another phrase. What happens if someone didn't say these phrases in the respective seasons? So we continue now with the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Chalina, Hilkoch, B'Moyz HaChama, when it comes to the summer season. Omar Mashiv Horuach, if he says, let the winds blow, Ein Machzirin Oso. That's not considered a mistaken praise. Winds are always present. So if he said it in the summer season, the one who brings the winds, we're not going to have him go back and say the Shemona Esrei again. We don't, Machzir literally, we return him to the beginning. Omar Morid HaGeshem, if he said during the summer season, which is not the time for rain, and he says the praises the Almighty as the one who brings the rain, machzirin osa, we tell him, go back to the beginning, you made a fundamental mistake. B'moisak shomim, in the rainy season, lo omar, if he did not say, mashiv haruach, ein machzirin osa, we don't tell him to go back, because as we said before, there is no need to mention wind in the first place, because it's part of the way the Kodesh Baruch Hu constructed nature, that it's always present. So if you didn't mention it, it's not grounds for repeating the Shemoneh Esrei. However, Lo Omar Morid HaGeshem, if you didn't make mention or praise God as the source of rain, which is not something that is a given, and you didn't say it at the time you're supposed to say it, meaning in the Yemois HaKshomim, Machzirin Oysoi. We tell him to go back to the beginning and repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. V'lo Oid, and not only that, Elo Afilu Omar Ma'avir Horuach U'Mafriach Hatal, if he, say, corrupts and says the Almighty, who is one who removes winds and scatters dissipates the dew, Ein Machzirin Oso, we still will not make him say the Shemoneh Esrei again, even though he articulated something that is wrong or preposterous. Nevertheless, it's built into nature, and what he says then is of no significance. Tona, the Ovim uveruchos lo chayvu chachomim lahazkir. Now, just like we had a source that we called Roman numeral number 1, the betav ruchos lo chayvu chachomim lahazkir. Here we have not only ruchos, here we mention Ovim. The first source where it was tal was featured, here clouds are featured. So clouds are Ovim uveruchos lo chayvu chachomim lahazkir. The chachomim did not expect us to mention that in the Shemoneh Esrei. V'imbol askir, master, if he does mention it anyway, so be it. My taima, why is this the law? Bishum dolu matzri, clouds and winds are not withheld. The Gemara asks a question, and you'll notice this is a long question. The lo matzri, is that really so, that clouds and winds are not withheld? The V'hotoni Rav Yosef teaches the following source. V'otzaras ha-shamayim, The pasuk that we are familiar with from the Kriya Shema, it says V'otzar es ha-shamayim v'lo yemotor. So what does V'otzar es ha-shamayim mean? I will withhold the heavens. Min he'ovim u'min ha-ruchos. V'otzar is to withhold. In modern Hebrew, the word atzor is something that is associated with a stop sign. Stop. I will stop the heavens from what? From clouds and from winds. And that's if the Jewish people don't follow the Torah and mitzvahs, this is the consequence. Ata oimer min ovim u'min aruchos. That's what you say. It's being the clouds and the winds will be withheld. O eino elo min ha-motor. Maybe v'otzar es ha-shamaya means I will withhold rain. No, kishu omer v'lo yeh motor. When the pasuk goes on to say and there will be no rain, Hare motor amur. So the withholding of rain is alluded to in the lo yeh motor. Ha'mane mekayim v'yotzer es ha-shamayim. So then what am I going to establish? What am I going to explain for this phrase? That I will withhold the heavens. Min ha'ovim u'min ha-ruchos. I will withhold from clouds and winds. Kashya ruchos ha-ruchos. Kashya ovim ha-ovim. Now this creates a double contradiction. In other words, what we see in this source, the withholding of clouds and winds is difficult in light of the source just before, indicating clouds and winds are not withheld. The Gemara answers, Ovim aovim lo kashya. There isn't a contradiction regarding clouds. Ha b'charfi, ha b'afli. Likewise, ruchos haruchos lo kashya. Ha b'ruach mitsuya, ha b'ruach she'eno mitsuya. We'll go over this. The resolution is based on the fact that when it comes to clouds, there are two types. When it comes to winds, there are two types. One withheld, one not withheld. So now we'll go over what we learned. Ovim ha'ovim lo kashya, we said regarding the issue of cloud withholding. Yes or no? No difficulty. Ha v'charfi, there are clouds that we call charfi. Rashi explains these are clouds that precede a rainfall. Those clouds are not withheld. Haba'afli, those are clouds that exist after a rainfall. They happen to be very beneficial. So, as far as the Tanaic material is concerned, both sources are accurate. Certain types of pre-rain clouds are not withheld. The post-rain clouds are withheld, or could be withheld, of course, depending on the sinning level. Now, as far as prayers are concerned, since they are not all withheld, some are always present, so therefore it's not something that we are obligated to mention. Now, with regard to the winds, we said, as far as the two Tanaic sources are concerned, there's no contradiction. We read in the Gemara, Ruchas Aruchas Lokashia Ha Beruach Mitsuya Ha Beruach She'eno Mitsuya. Mitsuya means common. Common, normal breezes, normal winds, those are not withheld. However, the Pasuk that said, V'atzas HaShemayim, and Ruchas will be withheld, that's a reference to the strong gale force winds, Ruach She'eno Mitsuya. We have Rashi, She'eno Mitsuya, Ksiv V'otzar, regarding the strong gale-forced winds. So that, those are the unusual wind, that is referred to by the Pasuk, V'otzar, they will be withheld. V'afilu hochi lo chayvuhu lahazkir, even so, there is no obligation to mention the Almighty as being the provider of winds, desagi le b'mitsuya, because the common wind is enough for the world's survival. Now we go back to the Gemara, focusing on the issue of winds. Ruach she'eno mitsuya, the strong force winds, chazya lebei dori, are useful in the winnowing process in a granary, where grains that have been threshed, so you have the kernel, which is desirable, and the chaff, which is the undesirable part, are mixed together. When you throw them up into a wind, so the wind blows away the lighter weight chaff, allowing the heavier kernel falling groundwards, hence a very useful element. Being that the Ruach Sheinu Mitsuya, which is beneficial for a beidori, for a granary, is something of use, it's something that we ought to make mention of. We should praise the Almighty for providing this type of strong wind. The Gemara says, no, there isn't any need to mention them because we have a natural, we have a replacement for that phenomenon. Efsher benapfiso. Napfiso is a fan. And Rashi says in French a word that sounds very similar to the English word fan. And since that's what Rashi says, fan, but he also, a napo and a kvora, it's possible using these other sifting devices to separate the chaff from the kernel, that which the strong force wind would have accomplished. So since we're not absolutely dependent on the strong wind, because we have these alternative means, the napo and the kvora, these sifting devices, so we're not obligated to mention winds in our Shmoneh Esrei. Tana, he'avim v'ruchos shniyos lemotar. Clouds and winds are in second place. They're almost as beneficial as the rain itself. Hey chidami, what kind of clouds and winds do you describe as shniyos lemotar? Omar ula v'itemo Rabbi Yehuda, the Bosar Mitra, those that appear after a rainfall. The Gemara asks, Lememro de Mal Yusahi, are you saying then that they are beneficial? Voxiv, we have the following Pasuk. It says, Yitain Hashem es metar artzach avok v'efer, avok v'ofar. This Pasuk, by the way, is in the curse section of the Torah, in Dvarim Perikov Ches. The Yomer Ula V'Itema Rav Yehuda Zika the Bosar Mitra. This is a reference to wind, Zika's wind, after rainfall. We just read a pasuk that said Yitain Hashem es Mata Artzcha Ofok Fiofar. This is a reference to the wind that follows a rainfall. We look at Rashi toward the end of the narrow lines. Zika the Basar Mitra. We didn't translate the pasuk that said Yitain Hashem es Matar Artzcha Ofok Fiofar, but he will give the your rain as dust and dirt. So Rashi explains Zika the Basar Mitra Shaharuach, the wind Male Ofok will cast up dust Achar Hagishamim. The Nidbak Bitfuo. This is a very bad situation where there's a rainfall, but right after the rainfall a wind blows, kicking up dirt, and that dirt then gets stuck to the grains. What we see from here, without getting into too much agricultural detail, we see that Basar Mitra, which we dashed on the line, is not beneficial, whereas a few lines above we presented it as if Basar Mitra is beneficial. The Gemara answers, Loi Kashya, there is no difficulty. Ha da Asa Nicha, Ha da Asa Razia. Ha male, ha de male ovok, ha de lo male ovok. We'll go over this. Ha de osa nicha. When the rain fell benachas, when the rain falls in a moderate fashion, so it doesn't cause any dust or dirt to be kicked up. However, if it comes, razio means with force, so it causes dirt to be kicked up and, as we said before, get stuck to the grains that are growing. So, depending on the kind of rainfall, that will help determine what effects the winds have that we referred to before, the wind after the rainfall. If we look at Rashi, toward the end of the narrow lines, Hochi Garsinon, Ha da Osa Nicha, Ha da Osa Razio, Keshiyorad Benachas, when the rain fell in a moderate fashion, Eino Mala Avok, it doesn't cause any dirt to be kicked up, Razio Bekoyach, that means with force. Now we continue in the Gemara. The Omar Rav Yehuda. And we had Rav Yehuda quoted a few lines before, so we have here another statement of his. And that's why we also use this geometric form to highlight that, we'll call it the series phenomena of comments made by Rav Yehuda. So he says, Zika de Basar Mitra, Kemitra. Zika is wind. Wind that follows rain is as good as rain. Eva de Basar Mitra. Clouds that follow a rainfall are kemitra, like as good as beneficial as rain. Shimsha de Basar Mitra, Ketre Mitri. Sunshine that follows a rainfall is as beneficial as two rainfalls. Limute Mai. Now, once you list all of these things as being beneficial, so what's not beneficial? What's considered not like rain? Limute to the exclusion of Gili de Lelia Veshimsha de Beni Karchi. Gili de Lelia is some type of glow that takes place at night. I don't know if one can venture forth and say that it's something like the what we call the aurora borealis, or otherwise known as the northern lights, which is a phenomenon that is noticeable primarily at night. And that's not beneficial. And Shimsha de Beni Karchi, this is sunlight that appears through cracks in the clouds. That, we say, is not beneficial. And now we have a new geometric form on the side under the Mivne heading. You can see the trapezoid, or we call the volcano shape, Memros Shel Rava, comments of Rava, Beinyan Sheleg Vegeshem, regarding snow and rain, and Beinyan Tzur B'Rabbanan, regarding Talmidei Chachomim, Tzur B'Rabbanan, young Torah scholars. The Gemara, Omar Rava, Mali Tilga Leturi, Mali is beneficial, Tilga is Sheleg, the Tuf and the Shin will interchange, Tuf in the Aramaic, the Shin in the Hebrew, Sheleg, Turi are mountains, so that snow is beneficial to mountains, kechamisha mitri la'ara, as good as 5 rainfalls for flat ground. Now, it should be pointed out that rainfall for mountains isn't beneficial. The rain water just flows right off, and there are places where agriculture takes place on mountains. So what is beneficial for that which is growing on mountains? Snow is beneficial. It stays there, it sticks there and gets absorbed into the ground slowly with the snow melt, as opposed to, as we said, rain doesn't even stay there to begin with. Now, how does Rava know to say that a snowfall on a mountain is as good as 5 rainfalls for the flat ground? Shenemar, based on a pasuk, ki lasheleg yomar hu eretz v'geshem motor v'geshem mitros uzo. So these words, geshem motor, are different words referring to rainfall, and geshem again is mentioned a third time. Mitros is motor is in the plural, so it's another 2 times, giving you a total of 5. Vyoma Rava, Teleg, Talga. Talga, again, is snow, is Luturi. Snow is beneficial for mountains. Mitra Razia, a strong rainfall. Lilni is beneficial, benefits trees. Trees are large growths, rooted in the ground, with their roots, so a strong rainfall is beneficial to them, but won't hurt the trees, and the water that is eventually, that falls and is absorbed benefits the trees and the tree roots. Mitra Nicha, a moderate type rainfall, is Lepiri. Now, Rashi points out, Piri usually we translate as fruits, but we just got finished speaking about the fruit trees. So Rashi adds, Peros is of Tvua, grains. We continue at the top of Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Urpila is a mist type rain, a fine rain. Both Rashi and the Tosis describe it as Gishomim Dakim, fine rain, Afilu, Lepartsida, Detusi, Kola, Mehanyo Le. It will be beneficial even for a seed. Partsida is a seed, a pit or a seed that is Detusi, underneath. Kola. Kola is a clump of earth. There might find another explanation of that. A stone, if you have a grain, let's say a grain that's growing under a stone, this Urfila, this fine type of rain, will be beneficial for it. My Urfila, the Gemara wants to know the etymology of that word Urfila, Oru Fili. We'll go over this by looking first at the Rashi. Rashi has 2 explanations. Oru Fili, Shesosem Sidkei Haaretz. This misty rain fills the cracks in the ground. And Lishnachrino Shemegadelas Umatzmachas Hagarinim Ha'oimdim B'Sidkei HaKarka. It creates the growth and sprouting forth of seeds that are in cracks in the ground. Tosfos at the top, Urfila, Hainu Geshem Dak, fine misty rain. Afilu Lepartsida Detusi Kola Mahanya. Pirush Partsida Zugarin. Partsida is a pit or a seed. Shumitachas ho'evan, that's underneath a stone. Hainu kemochita shumitachas hakaka, that's like a grain of wheat under the ground. The next place is my Urfila, Oru Fili Pirush. M'oyrron. The word oru, according to the Tosis, means arousing. Umatzmichon, causing them to sprout. Fili. Pirush oison ha'oimdim b'sid keretz. Those that are planted or found in the cracks in the ground. So the urfilo type rain or quality rain is said to be very beneficial. V'omar Rava, haitzubrim rabbonon. Domi lepartsida detusi kola. And since partsida detusi kola was mentioned on the top line, Rava says that that can be an analogy to a young Talmud Chacham, a young Torah scholar. Dekevon de novot novot. Once he starts to sprout, he continues sprouting. And we look in the Rashi for a fuller explanation. Kevon de novot novot. Shemaschi levatzveis velalois. When it starts to sprout forth and rise upwards, Oyulu Lamali continues rising. That's with seeds. Kach Talmud Chacham, given Shiyotze Shmoy, Hoylech V'Gadol L'Mala. Once his name becomes known, once his erudition becomes public knowledge, he continues to grow more and more. The Omar Rava, the Gemara continues, Hait Subar Rabbanon de Rosach, a young Talmud Chacham that you find getting angry. Oraisa hu deko marsechole. It's a result of the Torah that he has absorbed that causes him to become irate. Now, what are we talking about? So, right, Rashi says across from here, Oraisa marsechole sheishlo rochav lev mitoch Torah. So, because of his Torah learning. Now, Torah, for those who have studied significant sections of Torah, will know that Torah is all encompassing. It deals with all facets of the world and beyond. So a Talmud Chacham, someone who has absorbed Torah knowledge, he has his vistas are expanded. So he sees things, and as the Gemara Rashi continues, Umesim libo yoisim mishar b'nerim. He notices things, phenomena, potential that other people, ordinary individuals, don't notice. Now, so what is it? What is this information important for us to know? That a Talmud Chacham who gets angry, it's a function of the Torah that's burning within him. So the main point Rashi says that the komashlon de chayovim ludinu chavshus. You have to give him the benefit of the doubt. In other words, you don't condemn a Talmud Chacham that you see is becoming irate or enraged, and condemn him just by saying, "Oh, he's a hot-headed individual." No, take into consideration that what is arousing his ire is his noticing of things that can have potentially negative repercussions and implications that the commoner doesn't see, and that's what's arousing him to his state of discontent. And where do we know this from? Shenemar haloi koi devorai keish ne'um Hashem, that my words, my Torah, is like fire, says the Almighty. The Omer of Ashi, kol tam l'chocham shenu koshek kebarzel, eino tam l'chocham. A Torah scholar that is not hard and unyielding is not a true Torah scholar. Now, that sounds a little bit odd. We're taught to be, in terms of manners, and we're called Derech Eretz, we're taught to be quite the opposite, to be yielding and conforming, and not tough and unrelenting. Nevertheless, when it comes to matters of Torah law and defending the Torah, defending its teachings on principles, one cannot be yielding. Has to be strong, koshek kebarzel, strong as iron. And one who is not that cannot be classified as a Torah scholar. Shenemar, and here we have two sources for this idea. So that's why I have number one here, a couple lines later, number two. The pasuk says, "Uchafatish yefoitzeis sela." That's a description of the Torah, like patish, which is patish is a hammer. Hammer is made of iron. It is capable of smashing stone, and hence the description of the Talmud Chacham was to be tough like that. Omar le Rabbi Abba l'Rav Ashi atun mehasam masnisula. Rabbi Abba says, "Rav Ashi, you learn from there. Anan we." We learn this principle from over here. Number two, Dichtiv, Eretz Asher Avoneho Barzel, the land whose stones are iron. Al Tikri Avoneho, don't read the word as Avoneho, Ela Boineho. Boineho, it's builders. Its builders are like Barzel, like iron. Its builders, the land of Israel, the Jewish people are established by its Talmidei Chachomim, and they are described as Barzel. Omer Ravina, Ravina though adds something that should be of consolation to many of us. Afilu Hachi, even so, even though we have this description of the Talmud Chacham as being Koshek and Barzel, A person has to train himself. Melaf is to learn. Nafshe himself. He has to train himself benichusa in ways of pleasantness. Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Vahoser kas milibcha vahule. Remove wrath from your heart. So that even though in the last number of lines we've seen descriptions of Talmidei Chachamim as being capable of wrath and being unrelenting, all those are necessary characteristics, as we described before, to stand in as the bulwark, the defense of Judaism. So one has to have those characteristics. However, in his daily conduct, one, as Ravina says, he should train himself to be a pleasant individual. And in Hebrew, benachas, we say divrei chachamim benachas nishmoim. The words of the sages are absorbed when they are sounded in pleasantness. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, especially with regard to accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.